Today we'll finish up our look at Mary's retreat. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. I'm going to be hanging out here for the next 30 minutes, and I'm really glad you could join me for day 26 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Today on the show, we'll look at Mary's retreat, day 3. We've been looking, if you remember, over the past 2 days at the fact that Mary was prepared throughout her life to be our spiritual mother. You know, she wasn't just given instructions all at once. The Lord worked through her, and gradually he prepared her for the role that she had, that she was given. So you and I, in the same way, are going through a retreat. We're getting ready for our total consecration, and we're trying to think about different concepts, learn about Mary, the Holy Spirit, learn about the Lord, learn about what it is that we're doing with total consecration. So we're on a retreat, and this retreat within a retreat looks at Mary's retreat. Now, I just said the word retreat a lot, didn't I? Oh, man. We'll also look at the Mass readings from today, which just happens to be the feast of the archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. So it's a big day in the church. We'll talk a little bit about them at the end of the material. Now, tomorrow will be day 27. We'll look at Marian Entrustment, Part 1. And then Thursday, Marian Entrustment Part 2. And Marian Entrustment is another word for consecration. And then we're done the week devoted to the teachings of St. John Paul II. And then we will begin the final 5 days of review on Friday. St. Louis de Montfort, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Blessed Mother Teresa, St. John Paul II. And finally, the fifth day will be a general review of everything that we talked about. And then you'll be all ready for October the 7th, the Memorial of Our Lady of the Rosary, when we'll make our total consecration. And remember, if you have questions, please let me know. My email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. I'm really proud of you. You're doing a good job. I'm looking at the numbers because I can see how many people listen to the podcast. And it's good. It's remaining steady. And I'm very, very pleased. I can't tell you what a great honor it is to be here and to help you to learn more about Mary in the hopes of growing closer to her and eventually growing closer to Jesus. And that's really what this is all about. We're trying to grow closer to Jesus because he has work for us to do. In addition to us being able to experience his peace, he's also got work for us to do because he wants us to share him with those around us. So in order to do that, what has to happen is that we need to get to know him first. So that's what we're headed toward. Briefly, I want to let you know that tomorrow on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll be doing my weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled segment. What that is a look at a Bible verse that is designed to help you to overcome anxiety. So if you're somebody who tends to be a little anxious, check it out. We do about a 7 or 8 minute segment on the show. I talk it over with Matt Swaim. I give a Bible verse. I'm really pleased with the verse for tomorrow. It reminds us of the importance of God's Word and Sacred Scripture and how it can bring us great joy. That's one of the reasons I try to feature Scripture on the show every day, because I really believe that you need to hear God speak through the pages of the Bible. It's very important, and it's going to bring you not only peace, but it's going to bring you closer to the Lord. You'll get to know him better. So that's tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time on the Sunrise Morning Show. You can listen to that on EWTN Radio. And that's about it for news, other than the fact that today's a big day. It's National Coffee Day. You may have heard this. It's amazing people come up with these crazy ideas. But because of it's National Coffee Day, I got a cup of free coffee. In the Philadelphia area, we have these convenience stores. They're called Wawa. I know it's a stupid name, but we had some visitors last week to the World Meeting of Families, and they said, Wawa, what kind of name is that? But it's an Indian name, actually, and these stores have been around here for as long as I can remember. They've got really good coffee. If you're from the Philadelphia area or South Jersey, you know what they're all about. I think they have some down in Florida now, but the good thing is I got a free cup of coffee, so that's my beverage du jour on National Coffee Day, so I'm really happy about that. I hope you're having a nice beverage. Hope you got a nice snack, and hope you're ready to get started as we look at Mary's Retreat Day 3. Let's begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We're so grateful for this beautiful day and all the blessings that you have given to us. Above all, we're grateful for the blessing of your Son, Jesus, for his redemption, redeeming us on the cross. We're also grateful for the gift of our Blessed Mother Mary. Please help us to be able to learn more about her as we go through this treat. And Father, also, we'd like to get to know you better and like to get to know your Holy Spirit better as well. It's an amazing opportunity for us to be able to get so close to you. We look at celebrities. We look at famous people all around the world in sports, politics, and we can't get anywhere near them. But yet you are the God of the universe, and you make yourself accessible to us at all times. We're very grateful for that opportunity. Father, continue to help us to grow closer to you. And help us to be able to persevere in the remaining few days of this total consecration. Please let us know what we can do for you today. And grant us your peace as we seek to grow closer to you. Father, we ask you to be with anybody who is sick, anybody who is anxious or lonely, anybody dealing with financial difficulty or addiction. Father, I give the show over to you. I ask you to speak through me on the program. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. We turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her help. As we're starting to get closer to her, we ask her to intercede for us so that we may not only get to know her, but so that we may get to know her Son, Jesus. And together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Blessed Mother Teresa, Saint John Paul II, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I thank you very much for joining me on the program today. And just a reminder that after we're finished on October the 7th, we'll spend a couple of days after that talking about, okay, what happens now? That's always a big question. What do we do now that we've consecrated our lives? What changes? Well, the basic thing to remember is that your life is not going to change externally. It's going to change internally, but since you have now consecrated yourself to the Blessed Mother and you've gotten to know her better, or I should say you've begun the process of getting to know her better, I like to look at total consecration as a point of departure rather than an end point. You know, we can start, once we make our total consecration on October the 7th, we're going to get to know our Blessed Mother more than we do now. So don't expect to know everything that there is to know about her on October the 7th. That's a beginning. You know, even though we're doing some preliminary work, we're trying to learn about Mary, we're going to learn more about her as we grow closer to her. And she's going to take us to Jesus. I mean, this is all good. That's why I do this. That's why this is the fifth year in a row that I've done it on the program. Because I know it's going to help you. I know it's going to really change your life. And I get letters all the time from people who have made this consecration. And they find themselves getting more involved at church. They find themselves becoming more devoted to Mary, more devoted to our Lord Jesus, more willing to read the Bible, more willing to talk about their faith, more willing to study the Catholic faith. These things all have come about due to total consecration. In my own life, I now work full-time as a Catholic speaker and an author. I never had the guts to do this before. Never really had the desire to do it full-time before. On October the 7th, 2011, I made my consecration for the first time. And at that point, I was starting to feel this call to work for the Lord. I wanted to do it full-time, but I wanted to do it as a member of a diocese or a church or somebody giving me a paycheck. Well, the Lord had other plans, and I got laid off in January of 2012. And that launched a full-time career as a Catholic speaker and an author. And I don't have that security that I really wanted, that security of a biweekly paycheck. I don't have that. But I've got peace that I never could have imagined would be possible. So I'm letting the Lord, I'm learning to trust Him, and I'm realizing that He's got a much better plan than I do. And I think that's the challenge for us to really accept the fact that if we trust the Lord with our lives, and in this case, if we trust Mary to get us closer to the Lord, all kinds of amazing things are going to happen because she's going to be going to Jesus as she did at the wedding at Cana. Remember, we looked at the wedding at Cana. She didn't fix the problem by herself. She went to Jesus and let Him fix the problem. What she does is tell Him that there's a problem. And she leaves it up to Him to fix it in the best way possible. And in return, she tells us, do whatever He tells you. So that's our obligation. We got to follow our Lord as He speaks through His church. We follow the teachings of the church. And when we do that, we're going to get great things happening in our lives. If you would like more information about my work, if you'd like to find out about the books that I've written, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You can find out how to book me as a speaker. I'd love to come to your parish to talk or your conference. And I do have some openings for Advent or for... Advent's a little tight, but especially for Lent. I have some openings for Lent. If you want me to come in and do a parish mission, I'd love to do that. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You can find out information about me there. And, it's very exciting to be able to speak about Jesus Christ or our Blessed Mother at your parish. So please let me know about that, and we can talk and work it out. Okay, day 26, Mary's Retreat. Day 3, we wrap up Mary's Retreat today. Yesterday, at the wedding feast of Cana, we saw a glorious example of Mary's motherly mediation. After this event, Mary surely pondered it deeply in her heart and discovered much about her maternal mediation. Yet Cana was not the most important part of her preparation. The crowning moment of her preparation, indeed its full actualization, came at Calvary. At Calvary, Mary suffers with Christ. Through faith, she is perfectly united with Christ in His self-emptying. Through faith, she shares in the whole shocking mystery of His gift of Himself out of love for us. Through faith, the mother shares in the death of her Son, in His redeeming death. Before His death, Jesus has one more lesson for His perfect disciple, who has followed Him to the cross and fully accepted to suffer with Him. And I just want to pause so we think about that. A couple of things that Father Gately just stated there that we might not ordinarily think about. Number one, that Mary was a disciple of her Son. It's not something that normally comes to mind. Mary was a disciple of the Lord. And the other thing was she accepted the invitation to suffer with Him at Calvary. Try to imagine what she was going through watching her Son be crucified. Okay, seeing her, so she's standing at the foot of the cross. Seeing her standing at the foot of the cross next to His beloved disciple, John, Jesus says, "Woman, behold your son." And then to John, "Behold your mother." With these words, Jesus gives Mary as mother to every single individual and all mankind. And if you continue to read that text in John chapter 19, you'll see that on that day, John took Mary into his home. Now, he did that on that day 2,000 years ago. What about us? Are we ready to make that decision to take Mary into our lives? We get that chance on October the 7th. Whether you're renewing your consecration or if you are making it for the first time on October the 7th, you say, yes, I want to take Mary into my home, into my life, really, and let her go about making me a saint. I mean, this is all good. This is exciting stuff. It really is. It's so exciting to do. And remember, you can always rescind this. If you decide, even a few years from now, that this wasn't right for you, you can say, I take it back. you know what, it wasn't right for me, Lord, let's take it back. And he's okay with that. It's not like you committed a sin or anything. So I want you to understand that even though you're signing up for the rest of your life, you can always change your mind. Because I don't want to panic you. I don't want you to say, oh, what if I make the wrong decision, and therefore I shouldn't do this. I don't want you to say that, because there is a way out. All right. And again, I really don't know of anybody who has done that. I'm not saying it hasn't been done, but I don't know of anybody who has done that. According to John Paul, this new motherhood of Mary, and one thing I want to remind you is that this is a week devoted to St. John Paul II, but it's very easy to lose that fact the way Father's writing. But if you pay attention, he is inserting some of the teaching of St. John Paul II. It's just not really all that obvious. So just remember, we are talking about St. John Paul II. According to St. John Paul, this new motherhood of Mary is the fruit of the new love which came to definitive maturity in her at the foot of the cross, through her sharing in the redemptive love of her Son. This new love, says John Paul, actually causes a transformation in Mary's motherhood, such that she burns even more with love for all those whom Jesus suffered and died. The idea that Mary at the foot of the cross received a new burning love for souls may remind us of Mother Teresa's deep insight about Mary. Recall that for Teresa, Mary is the one who took Jesus' words, "I thirst," most deeply to heart, and that she helps others to take them to heart as well. Anyway, John Paul further reflects on Mary's transformation in love. At the foot of the cross, there was accomplished her maternal cooperation with the Savior, with the Savior's whole mission, through her actions and suffering along the path of this collaboration with the work of her Son, the Redeemer. Mary's motherhood itself underwent a singular transformation, becoming even more imbued with burning charity toward all those to whom Christ's mission was directed. Through this burning charity, which sought to achieve, in union with Christ, the restoration of supernatural life to souls, Mary entered, in a way all her own, into the one mediation between God and men, which is the mediation of the man, Christ Jesus. At Calvary, Mary's preparation is ended. She has received the full gift of her universal spiritual motherhood and mediation, which is a unique cooperation in Christ's work of redemption and a sharing in his mediation. After Jesus' death on the cross, we don't hear about Mary exercising her new motherhood until the day before Pentecost, when the apostles, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren, and we can read that in Acts 1:14, are devoting themselves to prayer in the upper room. John Paul comments, "We see Mary prayerfully imploring the gift of the Spirit, who had already overshadowed her at the Annunciation." He goes on to point out that Mary is the discreet yet essential presence that indicates the path of birth from the Holy Spirit, first at the Annunciation, and now the birth of the Church. Mary's new spiritual motherhood is deeply connected with the Church. With maternal love, she cooperates in the birth and development of the sons and daughters of Mother Church. This birth and development has its source in the Church's sacramental life, where Mary's motherly mediation is particularly present. For instance, Mary is surely interceding and active with her spouse, the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit transforms us into members of Christ's body at baptism. Moreover, she is just as present and active with her spouse at Mass. For it is at Mass that Christ's true body, born of the Virgin Mary, became present. Because of the centrality of the Eucharist in Christian faith and life, Mary is always striving to lead the faithful to it. As we close today's reflection, which concludes the 3 days of Mary's spiritual motherhood retreat, we should keep in mind one important point. Mary's new motherhood is not some vague or abstract sort of thing. It's concrete, and it's personal, and it's also intensely particular. Even though it's universal, it's also intensely particular. Mary is your mother. She is my mother. In this light, John Paul thinks it's significant that Mary's new motherhood on Calvary is expressed in this singular, "Behold your son," not "Behold your billions of spiritual children." The Pope gets to the heart of it when he says, even when the same woman is the mother of many children, her personal relationship with each one of them is the very essence of motherhood. In short, Mary's uniquely, particularly, personally, your mother and my mother. And she doesn't lose us in the crowd. Boy, that is such a good point. And it's one that's very easy to overlook, the fact that Mary is your mother. She's not, even though she is, don't think of her as our mother. Think of her as your mother. So it's personal. She's not going to lose you in the crowd, as Father said. Mary was prepared for this role throughout her life. Mary wants to be your mother. But Mary will not force herself on you. She won't force her spiritual motherhood on you. But she really wants to help you out. And this is where you can make that decision on October the 7th. This is where we're headed. Closing with prayer, come Holy Spirit living in Mary. Thank you for the gift of my loving mother Mary. Boy, good stuff, isn't it? Mary is your mother. If you got confused by some of the material, it was a little long today, that's your takeaway. Mary is your spiritual mother. She wants to be your spiritual mother, but she wants you to say, come into my life, Mary. And that's what we'll do on October the 7th. Now, tomorrow and Thursday, we will look at Marian entrustment. So we will understand what this is all about, what Marian entrustment is all about. Tomorrow and Thursday, and after that, we do our final 5 days of review. I told you this was going to go fast, and believe it or not, we are very close. Tomorrow, we're 1 week away. I mean, as incredible as that sounds, 1 week from tomorrow, we're going to make our total consecration. We'll talk about the details as we get closer. And then remember, I'm going to still be here. We'll talk about it for a few days after that. And then this show is going to be here. I'm going to still continue to be here Monday through Friday, every evening. You can download the podcast. We'll do these mass readings. We'll talk about our Lord. We'll talk about our Lady. I've got a series of themes, and I'll let you know what they will be next week. I think you'll enjoy the show. I know you may already be a listener. I hope you'll continue to stick around. I love doing the program. I love hanging out and talking about our Lord. And it's just a great pleasure to be able to do this on Blog Talk Radio. So think about it, and I would love to have you if you are interested. Now, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Today is a special day. As I mentioned, it's a feast day. So it's the feast of St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the archangels. Now, let me read a little bit about this feast day, about these three archangels, as we have a couple of minutes, and give you a little bit of a better idea of who they are and what their role is. St. Michael, who is like God, it's the meaning of his name, is the archangel who fought Satan. He is the protector of all people and reminds the faithful of the real existence of the devil and demonic activity. He is invoked for protection from the snares of the devil. St. Gabriel, meaning strength of God, announced to Zechariah the birth of St. John the Baptist, and to the Blessed Virgin Mary, the birth of Christ. His greeting to Our Lady, Hail Full of Grace, is one of the most familiar and frequent prayers of the Church. St. Raphael, whose name means Medicine of God, is the archangel who cared for Tobias on his journey. Tobias is the son of Tobit. Every person on his or her pilgrimage through this life also has a guardian angel. So that's what it is. Today we celebrate St. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the archangels, the highest of the angels. They have very special missions, and that's what they do. They have a very special mission in their life. Let's see, what do we have? About 6 minutes. Let's look at the gospel for today's Mass, which is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 47 through 51. Now again, remember, this is what they call a proper gospel for the feast of the archangels. This is a specially chosen gospel for this feast. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no duplicity in him. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." One of the things that we can easily lose track of is the fact that angels are real. I've always had a problem with angels. I don't think it's a very easy concept for us to really wrap our brains around, because they're spiritual beings. They have no physical body. So the idea of angels, because we can't really picture them, is not an easy concept to grasp. But the church teaches that angels are very real. And in particular, these three archangels that we discuss, that we celebrate today, Raphael, Gabriel, and Michael, they're very real. And they had very special roles. The beautiful thing about the angels is that they did their job willingly. They did their job willingly and didn't complain about it. And I think that is a great lesson for us, in addition to the fact that the angels are very real and that they can help us. We need to be able to imitate the angels in our lives, in doing God's will, whatever it is that God wants us to do, without complaint. That's really our job. So I think that's a good thing to think about on this day as we celebrate the archangels, the fact that we've got a job to do. And sometimes it gets a little challenging when we don't want to do our job, when we rather do what we want. Because sometimes doing God's will is not the easiest thing in the world. The reason for that is sometimes God's will requires us to do something we don't want to do. That's a very difficult thing to get past. It's a very, very difficult thing to get past. How are we going to be willing to overcome our own desires in order to do God's will? One of the great ways that we can do that is, I know I sound like a broken record, but it sounds like a broken record. However, boy, a lot of people don't even know what a broken record is. I'm really dating myself there. But it's true, total consecration. That's one of the great ways that we can willingly or agree to do whatever God wills in our lives, even when it's not easy. So stick around. You're going to see this develop gradually. You're going to see this develop gradually in your life after you make the total consecration. And until you do it, you're not going to really fully understand what this is all about. But I can assure you of this. It's going to be really good. And you're going to enjoy making your total consecration, especially as you grow closer to Jesus. All right, so now as we get ready to close the show, I just want to remind you, tomorrow, God willing, I'll be back here, and we'll begin the process of bringing our week devoted to St. John Paul II to a close. We've got a two-parter, tomorrow and the following night. And then after that, we do our review, and we are all set. But please, feel free to email me. Let me know if you have questions as we go forward. It's getting exciting. I'm getting excited to renew this. I love doing this every year because it really helps me to better understand our Blessed Mother and this whole process of total consecration. It's a very underappreciated devotion. It really is, but it's getting more popular. Any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com, and I look forward to hearing from you or to joining you on the show tomorrow. Remember, the Sunrise Morning Show, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. Let not your heart be troubled. Give it a listen. I'll be on talking about a Bible verse that will help you to overcome anxiety. Have a wonderful night. God bless you.